if you're going and you're designing these great models, you're building these LLMs, at the end of the day, your data is such a critical asset. The models that you've built are a critical asset. If you have some type of cyber attack, you want to make sure that cyber attack cannot delete your data, cannot modify it, and object storage comes to the rescue there with immutability.
Welcome back to another episode of Data Protection Gumbo. And once again, I have an opportunity to sit down with some of the smartest and brightest minds in the storage industry. And one of those guys, I've had him on the show for several times over multiple years and always enjoy having this conversation with him and kind of seeing where the hockey puck is moving on the storage front. So I want to welcome in Stephen Umhocker, who is the founder and CEO over at OS Nexus. How are you this fine day?
Hey, doing well. Happy New Year, Demetrius. Great to be back on the show. Thanks for having me.
Awesome, awesome. So inform the Gumbo listeners once again, who is and what does OS Nexus provide?
Yeah, we are a software-defined storage manufacturer. So we make software that's Linux-based that installs onto a server to turn into a storage system. And then you can combine these together to build scale-out clusters. And lately, a lot of that has been scale-out for object storage. And the underlying technology that we use is Ceph, which is an open-source project. But we really make it into an appliance, so it's really easy for organizations to deploy object storage and manage it, make it multi-tenant, stuff like that. Yeah, software-defined storage.
So is storage still sexy today, or has it lost some of its shine due to artificial intelligence and Trump being in Trump's inauguration? And there's a lot going on right now. I can't even keep up with what's going on in the news right now.
I think storage is getting shinier than ever because of the AI revolution that's happening right now. I mean, there's so much, not just money, time and energy, research and development that's going into artificial intelligence today. And to build these models and to collect and store all the data and the checkpoints, when they're building new models, they want checkpoints so they can go back and test one model versus another. This is just causing an explosion in the amount of storage that organizations need to retain because they need to keep all of this data for the models, for training them, as well as after they produce the models, being able to capture and hold those for a long period of time. And the retention period on some of these is turning into like years or forever retention in some cases, but really long-term retention is associated with a lot of the AI work that's happening.
Okay. Yeah, so we know AI is not going anywhere, right? It's only going to ramp up, you know, nuclear power, sustainable energy. You keep reading about all the big guys, right? Microsoft, AWS, Google, you know, going out and leasing, renting, buying nuclear power plants in order to power the next generation of AI and all the co-pilots and agents and agentic. And I mean, it's a lot. Yeah. It's a lot right now. And so you said something, right? So you talked a little bit about retention, long-term retention, and also how AI is just kind of starting an explosion of data. And we didn't need AI before that, right? A data explosion was already happening, but this has just kind of accelerated it. And there's more money. So there's billions and billions of dollars now being thrown at building more data centers, and people are just trying to find land in order to build these places and to cool all these different types of spaces. So, but what are you seeing just overall from a kind of a life cycle management perspective? So hot, cold, cool, archive, kind of the traditional way of, you know, storing data versus kind of where we are today. What's your view on all the different tiering systems of data, and is that something important for let's say, a CIO or maybe even an IT director out there today?
Yeah, I think the tiering of the storage is super important. You know, when you're running your AI model, that scratch space, that high performance file system that you're running it on is going to typically be all flash. But it's not practical to say, let's say you've got 3 or 4 petabytes of all flash storage, but you're going to need maybe 2 or 3 times as much storage for that archive tier so that you can take the models and data, push it out to that archive tier, and then be able to rapidly retrieve it. So you don't really want to push it out to tape drives where it's going to take forever to get it off of your flash storage. You want to put it out to object storage. And so the tiers that are really kind of crystallizing are, you know, a hot tier that's all flash and then an object tier behind that where you can start to move the data off to, but do it very rapidly. And this is where object storage has really evolved a lot in the last 5-10 years, where object storage, everybody used to associate it with slow storage, right? You'd go and put it into object and it would be viewed as like not performant. That's all changed.
Yeah.
The object storage protocols with S3 and some of the latest tools, there's open source utilities like S5 CMD that are just fantastic at moving data at really high speeds in a parallelized way. And that's those tools and just the high performance nature of the latest generation of object storage solutions, including the one that we make at OS Nexus, Quantastore, let you push data into all of the nodes at the same time, because it's just the nature of the scale out architecture. But a lot of the problems that are there when you're using a traditional file system around locking files goes away with object storage, because object storage, you don't get to modify an object when you want to push data in and it's got the same name. You're putting it in an entire new copy, an entire new version. And because you're doing that, it means that you don't have to go and maintain all of these small locks on files that basically end up slowing everything down. So object storage can actually be a lot faster than file storage, because a lot of these locking mechanisms where you need metadata servers to manage all these locks just goes away. And so you can just full speed push data into an object store from your high performance cluster that's got your models in it that you've trained, and do things that are just not just higher performance, but bring with it a lot of ransomware protection features like immutability. Because if you're going and you're designing these great models, you're building these LLMs, at the end of the day, your data is such a critical asset. The models that you've built are a critical asset. If you have some type of cyber attack, you want to make sure that cyber attack cannot delete your data, cannot modify it. And object storage comes to the rescue there with immutability. So we've got these immutability features in the platform. And that's just one of those tenets of object storage, one of those reasons why everybody's moving to object is, hey, you can protect your data. The worst case scenario where somebody gets through your firewalls, comes into and executes some cyber attack, you have a way back to go get your data back online.
Yeah, you mentioned a lot there. So you mentioned ransomware and also Quantastore, which is, I guess that's your software, right?
Right.
That's the mothership, which controls, and that's your control plane. So tell us a little bit about Quantastore, and also, are you leveraging artificial intelligence now within your software, or what are you doing around AI, or is it required, or what are you doing around AI?
Yeah, the thing that we added this last year in 2024, here at the beginning of 2025, we just shipped an update to Quantastore 6.5. But one of our big focuses last year was starting to add intelligent data placement. So one of the things is when you're writing files, writing objects into the object store, the files can be different sizes. And if you write something really small, say it's 1 kilobyte or 4 kilobytes in size, and then you erasure code that, say it's 16+3 erasure coding, that means you got to take that small bit of data, that 4 kilobyte object, and break it into 16 pieces. Now you're talking about bytes that are being written to each of those nodes. And it's super inefficient when you're writing really small amounts of data to hard drives. And so we added this intelligent data placement auto-tiering feature where we intercept that S3 put and identify, oh, what size is this? Oh, it's below the set threshold. We're going to put that into the flash storage tier. So we can write it super quickly and super efficiently and get back to the user. And now they save a bunch of space. They get really high performance for their small objects, as well as really high performance for their large objects. And that's critical, not just for AI, but it's critical for all applications, whether it's AI or backups or archive type applications. You really need to have intelligent data placement in order to make object storage fast.
Okay. Intelligent data placement.
Yeah.
Okay. And that's not AI.
That's not AI, but it's a key technology to making object storage fast for those organizations that are running AI models, that are building AI models. And to your question, have we added a large language model into Quantastore today? We haven't. We're still looking for ways that we could leverage an LLM. And the thing that I look at that's most interesting in the near term is using an LLM to help us by having it analyze all of our documentation, having it analyze all of our support tickets.
Oh, yeah.
So that it's easier for our support team to be able to go and consolidate information on, you know, tickets that we've closed in the past and things like that. So it's gonna make OS Nexus more operationally efficient, be able to get us a nice step forward on how we do things. But in terms of something that we embed right into Quantastore as a product, I think that's a little ways out. I think the models are doing a lot of interesting things, but as an example, we just added ransomware detection and it goes and looks for anomalies. And I think that's another area where we could use a model in the future. But in terms of how we do it today, it's more of an expert system. We're sort of like setting various thresholds. When it crosses those thresholds, that basically indicates there's an anomaly, and then we report on it. But in the future, watching different access patterns and things like that, some of those might indicate a higher probability of a ransomware attack versus other behavior. We built some learning logic, but that's another area I think that'll benefit from LLMs in the future.
Now, is there one industry that comes to you for your technology? Is that financial services or healthcare or genomics? I mean, oil and gas. Is there one industry that stands out, or one that has grown just over the last several years as far as reaching out to you and saying, hey, we need Quantastore, we need your storage in order to, because we just have so many workloads, we need the scale, we need the IOPS, we need it.
Yeah, I think what was really exciting about 2024 was just the breadth of verticals that we were working in. It was everything from higher education, just some really large clusters, stuff in excess of 20 petabytes, some stuff in the B2B analytics space, things that with professional football teams. It was all over, and a lot of university work, but we've been working on a lot of new case studies and things, and the different just broad spectrum of use cases, even some in the energy sector. And it's been a lot of fun. Everybody has a little bit different requirements, and so we customize the solutions a little bit differently for different verticals.
That use case for the NFL case study, that sounds pretty interesting. Is there anything you could share on that? Like, what are they using it for? And maybe to record all of the plays and to run them back and to determine whether or not it was a first down or, you know, those types of things.
Exactly. It's for coaches archive, you know, basically they're not just filming the games and recording that, but all the practices. It's for a professional football team on the West Coast. I can't go into exactly.
I know.
But it's a big coaches archive. And so they're able to, you know, sit down with the players and go through details of the plays and how to improve their game. Really exciting. And then that one, we partnered with a company called Chesapeake Systems and Seagate, of course. Seagate's a really close partner of ours, and they set up a couple of these systems so we could set up remote replications. They have another copy at another site.
Mm-hmm.
We've been working a lot with Seagate, and they make a system called a Core Vault that is doing erasure coding in the box. And then our software does erasure coding over the cluster. And having those two layers of erasure coding allows us to build these ultra durable systems that can get to really massive scale, like 300 petabytes in a cluster. Wow. So we can get to some levels of scale that we couldn't before really starting to work with Seagate. And so that's been exciting, integrating a lot of their hardware with our software and working together with Seagate on different opportunities has been a big joy and success story for us through 2024.
I remember the Seagate partnership, and it seems like something very exciting. And I'm sure that you guys still have a roadmap that you're working toward in 2025. In any other vendors that you're working with, and you've seen the growth with NVIDIA, right? It's just crazy.
Yeah, NVIDIA has just taken off, and I'm a big fan of their video cards. I've always been buying those GeForce cards over the years.
Okay, yeah.
One of their big partners is Supermicro, and we work really closely with Supermicro. They've got a bunch of new all-flash systems, and we've done some summits with them on how to use QuantaStore on the Supermicro hardware to build high-performance object and file storage for AI ML workloads and stuff like that. So that's been a lot of fun. Supermicro is always way out front in terms of like building these new servers that use the latest PCI buses, PCI 5, PCI 6, the latest network cards. We see it always appear on the Supermicro hardware lineup first. And so that's been a lot of fun working with them in their labs, because we get like kids in the candy store, get to see all the latest hardware and then integrate our software with it before it even gets out to the street. So that's always fun working with them.
Okay. That's pretty cool. And just kind of going back to the whole cybersecurity angle, because a lot of our listeners sit in that realm of cybersecurity, and it's a lot of topic and conversation just around protecting against ransomware, et cetera. You mentioned immutability, and I'm thinking that you mentioned air gap as well, erasure coding. Like, what would the number one piece of advice you would give someone out there right now? And it doesn't matter what their position is, right? They could be C-level, or they could just be a system administrator out there. Maybe a feature or capability that you deem as super critical, super key, or some type of configuration. What would you recommend out there just to make sure that they are, number one, staying secure, and number two, configuring their systems to be as secure as possible?
Yeah, I think there's a couple of things. The immutability, what that does is it just makes it so that when you upload an object, when you have a file and you put it into an object store, it's now called an object. So for those, when we say the word object, what we really mean is a file, but it's stored inside of an object store. And Amazon, they created the S3 protocol, which is simple storage. S3 is simple storage service. And QuantaStore and a bunch of other vendors have made it so you can build your own cloud on-prem. But I think it's important for everybody to really start adopting object storage, whether you use ours or a cloud-based offering from one of the major cloud vendors, or like Seagate Live Cloud is available there too. It's such a critical thing to use because of that immutability feature. All the major backup products now have the ability to back up to object storage. And what you can do is when you create the bucket, there's these governance policies, there's a feature called object locking. The locking on, you can say, I want this in governance mode or compliance mode. And both of those modes make it so that nobody can go delete the objects for the amount of time that you set. So you can go and say, hey, nobody can delete anything that I upload for 1 year. And you might set it for longer, but you get to set that block of time. And then when you back up your virtual machines, when you back up all of your corporate critical assets into that object store, you're protected against that worst case scenario. You can then have that business continuity plan, and you want to test it out as well, right? You go and you have your IT team go and set up this backup to the cloud. You still got to test it. You got to make sure that you didn't set it up in the wrong way. You got to make sure that the policies are set up right. And so trust but verify, get that immutable backup in the cloud or on your own private cloud and test it out. And you will then have that protection against those worst case scenarios. And also make sure that you're backing up all those critical assets. It doesn't do you any good if you don't actually back up the right stuff. So I recommend that for everybody, for any business of any size, identify what's critical and put it into an immutable object store.
Okay, absolutely. And you are working with other cloud vendors, right? You got some Azure stuff out there?
Yeah, we integrate our software allows you to automatically back up to the cloud. You can just create what we call a backup policy. And we work with all the majors from Amazon to Microsoft's Azure Cloud and even Seagate Live Cloud and a bunch of Wasabi, a bunch of the other ones. So that you can just say, hey, I've got all this file storage. I want to automatically put a copy of it in the cloud. And then they don't have to think about it. Just as they put files into the system, it'll automatically put that copy into the cloud for them.
Let's begin to wrap up here. One final question for you, and it's not a technical question. It's more of a personal question.
Yeah.
If you had the opportunity to snap your fingers to become Steven 2.0,
sure.
What would you do?
Oh, that's a tough one. I don't know that I would change much of anything. I'm a pretty content person. I have all kinds of projects. I've been trying to learn how to play guitar and become a better cook and all these other things. Simple things, yeah. But no, I don't really have any big things. I really I enjoy being in this space, working on cool storage projects and technologies and hanging out with you, Demetrius. So yeah, no, I don't have many things on my wish list. Yeah.
Well, that's the life of a wealthy man then who already has everything they need. So it's always a pleasure to have you on. And you want to leave some information for accessing your Quanta store and just any other information about OS Nexus.
If you go to osnexus.com, you'll find that we have a community edition. There's some you can get a free licenses to our software and can build your own object store that way and get more familiar with what we do. We also have a YouTube channel, OS Nexus Videos, with a bunch of demos on there that you might find interesting. So yeah, check it out. That free community edition. You can build a cluster all the way up to like 320 terabytes.
We are on YouTube as well. It's a slow start with YouTube, and there has to be some type of formula, right, in order to get the algorithm to recommend your videos. But we only have like 70 something subscribers right now. So Steven, go subscribe to Data Protection Gumbo. I'll check you out, subscribe to your channel, and maybe refer it to your friends as well. All right.
Yeah, thanks Demetrius.
And thank you for being a guest on. And one more thing before I let everyone go, check out the LinkedIn group that I host. It's called Backup and Recovery Professionals. 26,000 people in that group. We have lots of conversations, and the hot topic has been the white collar recession, and all the layoffs that are happening in AI and cybersecurity. So go check out the group. And Steven, once again, thank you so much for coming back on Data Protection Gumbo.
My pleasure. Thanks, Demetrius.